At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Aaron, now you want to say anything about Peter?
Yeah, well, you know, so I met Peter through you, Jimmy, and he became a really close friend and was also a big supporter of the work that I do. And everything you said.
Why would this private billionaire be interested in funding the work that you do? The very important work that the Gray Zone does. I wonder. It's curious to me. Is he like the world's biggest class trader? And he's just like, I really, really want to take down the system. Or does he find, perhaps, conspiracy theorists to run a lot of cover for a lot of what capitalists are trying to achieve, and they will spend a little bit of money here and there? It doesn't seem to take a lot to get YouTubers who've got channels where they get like 10,000 live viewers in their pockets. Let's catch up on this wild story.
The situation just keeps going, y'all. And I know you're like, Tim, it's got to stop. But he won't stop. He keeps going.
And that's why I was invested. And that's why I was emotional. And that's why I'm passionate. And I can't help that I'm white. Sorry. So should I apologize?
She's doing white identity politics now? Maybe that's why he was so worried about talking about white supremacy. What a surprise. Who could have seen this one coming?
For the way I was born? Are you going to apologize for the way you were born?
That's what's keeping this going. Listen, guys, in this video...
No one... Can I clear this up for confused white people? Because, you know, let me speak for the white people right now. No one is asking you to be ashamed for how you were born. No one... No one is saying, hey, the reverse racism is real, actually, and you should be ashamed of yourself and that creamy pale skin of yours. You should be ashamed. That's not a real thing. But you should be aware of what whiteness, white supremacy, and those concepts are, how people can be objectified or, let's say, marginalized in society for not being either white or in proximity to whiteness, shit like that. Those are two incredibly different ideas, totally different concepts. One is very different from the other. It's not like, oh, you white boys should be ashamed of yourselves, of your fucking disgusting skin or something like that. Like, what? No, see, that's a fear that white supremacists will use in order to recruit people. Because by a default setting, no one likes to feel bad. No one likes it. It's not a good feeling. No one wants to be in a room and someone be like, hey, fucking, there's a white person here. That sucks. You're like, whoa, what? Oh, ouch. That's not nice, right? No one likes that. Not a good thing. No one's advocating for that. No one's on that side. But if you happen to be perhaps someone who hasn't experienced racism your entire life or experienced racism on a regular basis or just be racialized in society generally, right, speaking, that might be one of the first experiences you have with that moment. You know, when you see those Fox News like clips where all of a sudden there's like a person crying because they were called, like, you know, I can't even say it on the show because it's banned on this network. They're called the C slur or something in public. And that's like, you know, baby's first racism. They're kind of like, you know, I was trying to get my Starbucks coffee and a couple of people who were working there. They were African-Americans. So there was a couple of African Americans who were working, and then they pointed at me, and then they said, "That white boy over there." No, yeah, they said that. They called you white boy. Yeah, and like hurt. It hurt. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Have you spoken to the manager yet? Yeah, I did. They both got fired and then arrested and beaten, luckily. So that problem solved itself, I guess. But it really was a trying and an exhausting experience. And I'm so happy because I feel like by saying this, people are accusing me of a whole bunch of stuff. But like, honestly, I think we have to end racism in all its forms. And just because, you know, one day I'm the victim, tomorrow it could be you. You never know.
I'm going to use testimony from people that know Jimmy Dore who are going to tell you really what's motivating Jimmy Dore.
And you know what the core of all this is? Jimmy reached out to the Cornel West campaign and said, I'd love to work on your campaign. And when they said no, Jimmy got mad. This is what he's done. He makes everything and takes it personal. And that's not what I got into this space for. I got into this space because I wanted to fix things. It was just so, I'm not surprised for two reasons. One of the reasons I stopped being a part of the Jimmy Dore show was in the summer of 2021, when he basically said it was okay that Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted. I was like, what? The Jimmy Dore show literally was a heavy anti-cop, critical of the police department, critical of their jackboot tactics. And then Jimmy was literally quoting Blue Lives Matter talking points. It was like, wow. And I know someone who was working on a show that had an argument with him about that. And Jimmy said, I've never been wrong, which is like his out of control ego. So this is all about his ego. Cornel West didn't want him on his campaign. So Jimmy's like, no. RFK kisses Jimmy's ass. So he likes RFK. And in that interview, he was a little hard on RFK about RFK's horrible stance on Israel, but RFK has a bunch of other horrible stances that Jimmy is soft on. Tulsi Gabbard kissed Jimmy's ass, and she's off. I mean, I did videos on, and I took a ton of shit when I brought on this guy that showed all these very distinct ties to Hindu nationalism. And there's this whole group of people that just, whatever Jimmy says, Jimmy like Tulsi, me like Tulsi. Jimmy pro man, you know, no mandate, me no mandate. Jimmy no vaccine, me no vaccine. They just follow whatever he says because he's got more clicks. And some of those people used to be on my show as regular guests, and they made a choice.
I'm going to start by saying shout out to the Vanguard, and also shout out to some of my Spidey senses, because like the Vanguard, when they were within the Jimmy Dore ecosystem, were pretty prompt to call out Jimmy Dore immediately once they realized what a fucking hack Jimmy Dore is. And like, you don't see that with everybody. Like, people always get accused of being orbiters for one, you know, streamer or content producer or another. And that's a really good example of people who were just straight up like, this guy is a fucking fraud and a half.
And it's obvious. Graham's show is way smaller, is only 10% of the audience, less than 10% of the audience of Jimmy's show. So I'm going to go on Jimmy's show and agree with whatever Jimmy says. There's nobody in Jimmy Dore's world that disagrees with him. Nobody. And you can make all your theories all you want. You haven't worked closely with this guy. You haven't known him for 30 years. So you don't know what you're talking about. I do. People that have worked with him do.
Graham sounds pretty convincing to me. I mean, I can't imagine why a guy who knows you 30 years would all of a sudden just turn on you and say that you're a narcissist and you're crazy and you're self-serving and you're vindictive and you're petty. And you also got a lot of personal issues.
I knew that, though. But I knew that without the background.
Jimmy Dore fans won't listen to anything Graham says. They'll just say, he's a plant. The CIA put him up to it. Mm-hmm. Or Joe Biden hired him.
Or he's part of the corporate duopoly. That's the one I always hear now, right?
DNC hacks part of the fucking corporate duopoly.
Something like that. Just so that you can make sure that you're hearing it clearly. One more time, a little bit more from Graham Elwood on YouTube.
And I would never have people around me that just agree and kiss my ass. But this is what happens when you go through 12-step recovery, is you have to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourselves. And when you're drinking and doing drugs every day, you're not capable of that. So this is what this is about. Let's get that clear. You know, when Bernie didn't want to come on Jimmy's show, Jimmy turned on Bernie. And there's much to be critical, but you got to understand, it's all about that ego. If Cornel West would have said, yeah, Jimmy, you can work on my campaign, Jimmy would be banging the drum for Cornel West. And that's why he keeps talking about your advisors. That's Jimmy saying, Jimmy basically says, I really want to be invited to this party. Everyone in that party is awesome. I got to be in that party. And when he's not invited, he goes, everyone in that party sucks. I hate them. He does that time and time again. He does that time.
And honestly, that is so fucking weird. That's so weird. That's like, it seems like you still got fucking like liberal comedian fucking Showtime brain. It's like, I want to go all the parties. Why don't they invite me? Why won't AOC come on the show? You see this? You see this? She's a corporate shell for the DNC. They all are. Synthetic leftists.
Don't go anywhere. Coming up, I have another clip I want to share with you from someone else, not me, who says, hey, they heard some things about Jimmy they want to share with the rest of the world.
Okay, before we get to that, I want to show you the big bombshell that just got released, and this is an entire thread on this. Jimmy Dore admits to taking $5,000 from billionaire Peter Allard.
And then, you know, he kept sending me emails, and I just thought this guy was nuts. I thought he was nuts. And then one day, he made a $5,000 donation to our show, which was by far the biggest donation we've ever gotten.
My God.
And I was like, what the hell is going on? This this crazy person is now making a donation. It's probably not going to go through. And I said, if that goes through, you know, then we know it's for real. It's the real guy. It went through. And so I was like, ah. So I called him. And I said, I didn't know you. It was really you. And so then I just went and covered the Allard Prize, and I met him and, you know, talked to him a lot since then. And, you know, unfortunately, COVID happened and I couldn't see him. We couldn't go up to, didn't. Anyway, so that was the story. So, but when I met him, you know, he was just a great guy. And he all he cared is if you had the courage to tell the truth. And if you did, he was your friend.
Wow. See, like, I always thought it was us versus them. Isn't that the whole thing? Like, you know, puts on the fedora, gets his fucking look on, gets that whole thing going. You know, this one.
You see this? The corporate duopoly here, synthetic leftists. Yeah, it's us versus them. The rich versus the poor. Fuck! Fuck!
He really had a strong contempt for corruption, and he was a trained lawyer and a very successful lawyer, and he saw firsthand how the legal system can be.
Yeah. Well, that's just the first. The first of many, by the way. This is receipt number two. Here's Jimmy mentioning Peter Allard and how Allard influences purity testing with us or against attitude that is so prevalent in Jimmy's act.
This is exactly the idea that we'd been talking about when we were up in Canada, eh, with some progressives up there. When we went up for the Peter Allard. In fact, he had a great idea that is very similar to this, that all the progressives would get together and have our litmus test of her. This is what you need to, these are the issues you need to support, and we'll support you. So this sounds very much the same way. It's like, we're done affiliating ourselves with a party. We're going to affiliate ourselves with a pro-worker agenda, and either you're for it or you're not, and we're going to endorse the person who's for it, whether it be in the Green Party.
No, I didn't buy that hat for a skit, unfortunately. I do love someone who commits to a bit. I actually got this because I went to a wedding this summer, and that was, like, the theme. And I was like, this really does look like a plantation owner's hat. That's not the theme, by the way. I didn't go to a plantation owner's wedding. It was more like you have to wear, like, white hats if you're a dude and stuff like that was one of the requirements. And that's the only reason. I have only literally worn it one time. And then I was just like, oh, that kind of looks like a Jimmy Dore hat.
Whether it be in our own party, whether it be anywhere, we're going to vote and endorse the person who endorses us. No more the lesser of two evil. That's what they're saying now.
Yeah.
That they're finally saying what I was saying for what we were saying at this show for over a year.
Billionaires
the
will
lesser
save us.
Of two evils is what got you this. This is exactly the idea.
Okay, so you know, it took some money. Da da da. Jimmy Dore talking to Peter Allard. Oh, so they hang out. He reports with him.
Peter, this is Peter Allard for the Peter Allard Prize, and we're heading over right now for the ceremony. And I'm excited about it.
Questions and answers, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's what we're doing. We're going to Glenn Greenwald's giving a question and answer right now, right?
Right.
The ceremony's later.
Yeah.
I'm done.
So, by the way, I can say this without worrying about the consequences. I am not funded by any billionaires, unless those billionaires are donating in very small amounts on my Patreon, unbeknownst to me. But outside of that, I have not been contacted directly by a billionaire at any point, or a billionaire's organization, or a think tank, and they've offered me vast sums of money that I've then tried to play off as just kind of like, I just randomly got this dono the other day in my show. You know, sometimes people donate $10, sometimes $25 if they're having a really good week. But, I mean, this week I just randomly got a $5,000 donation, and I was like, well, that's different. And so, like, when I saw that, I was like, that's kind of weird. I don't normally get that much money. And then I just looked into who exactly was donating. And then I did some research on the guy. And, like, I know I shit on billionaires a lot on this show and that they're exploitational and that they take, you know, fucking the surplus value of labor from all their employees. And that's probably a bad thing. But in this case, there are actually exceptions to the rule. I'm very proud to say that. Like, I learned that after the fact. And that's a good thing. You know, they're hashtag not all billionaires, y'all. Okay? Hashtag not all billionaires.
So I get a lot of things wrong. Peter, this is Peter.
Cool stuff.
It's cost me money disagreeing with Jimmy. If I just all I cared about was money, I'd agree with him. But I'm not going to do that. I am only going to talk about what I believe in. And I don't, if you don't believe me or you don't like me, whatever, I'm saying what I believe in. No one's in my ear. Okay. And I know Jimmy was getting money from Peter Allard, who is a billionaire that was paying some indie, he's supposedly a progressive. He was paying Jimmy what I was told was $5,000 a month. And then I heard this Peter Allard guy during the whole vaccine thing in 2021 told at several shows that he was paying, hey, I need you to push this anti-vaccine stuff. And several of the shows said, I don't want your money more. We're done. And Jimmy kept taking his money. That's my understanding. So there's a lot of stuff that's suspect here. It's cost me money disagreeing with Jimmy. If I just, all I cared about was money.
So multiple, apparently, accusations of taking multiple donations from Peter Allard. Jimmy Dore introduces Peter Allard to Aaron Matei, stenographer to genocidal dictators at the Gray Zone. It sounded like the Allard funded Aaron.
Aaron, now you want to say anything about Peter?
Yeah, well, you know, so I met Peter through you, Jimmy. And he became a really close friend and was also a big supporter of the work that I do. And everything you said.
Why would this private billionaire be interested in funding the work that you do? The very important work that the Gray Zone does. I wonder. It's curious to me. Is he like the world's biggest class traitor? And he's just like, I really, really want to take down the system. Or does he find perhaps conspiracy theorists to run a lot of cover for a lot of what capitalists are trying to achieve? And they will spend a little bit of money here and there. It doesn't seem to take a lot to get YouTubers who've got channels where they get like 10,000 live viewers in their pockets. Like, goddamn, fucking $5,000? That like, I don't know how much he's being paid on a regular basis, by the way. I don't know if they get reoccurring. Like, I'm assuming it's obviously a fucking city amount. I'm not saying it's just as petty as fucking $5,000. That's all that was. But $5,000 seemed to be the initial difference maker, where all of a sudden it was like, I was curious where the money came from. But now, this is a good guy. Who cares?
He believes so strongly in fighting corruption and standing up for human rights, and he was fearless. He really wanted to take on the
money where his mouth was, and he gave away prizes, and he helped people who were independent journalists all over the country, all over the world. So they put together. Aaron, now you want to say anything about Peter?
Yeah, well, you know, so I met Peter through the Western world, who he.
Sorry, I didn't know it was looping. I brought it back.
Saw as being, you know, at the source of so much of the suffering of people around the world. And so tried to support people who were engaged in efforts in fighting corruption and atrocities around the world. And so he was a great friend, a great person, and he's sorely missed.
And he didn't care what political stripe you were from. If you stood up for freedom of speech and freedom of journalism, and he was your champion, right?
He was totally nonpartisan. He didn't care about what party people were from. He just wanted to see, you know, righteous causes advanced.
So here's a video they put together for him. So I want to show it to everybody.
And don't get me wrong, Peter Allard, if you're unaware of what he does, he is one of the billionaire philanthropists, you know, kind of like a Bill Gates, and that he does a handful of things that certain people look towards on a regular basis, being like, oh, well, I mean, there are good ones, right? There are billionaires who are willing to spend millions of dollars in some cases to support initiatives. Now, I'm not talking specifically about Jimmy Dore and the Gray Zone. That's just kind of like, I'm pretty sure I don't know a better word than running cover, term. In that case, but there are cases where I believe Peter Allard donated something like, you know, $30 or $40 million to various law school initiatives for civil rights or things like that you could point towards in the same way that you could for Bill Gates, right? Like, yeah, Bill Gates may have done a lot of fucked up shit, but there are instances where you could certainly point towards the Bill Gates Foundation spending, millions upon millions of dollars for mass vaccination programs in different countries and stuff like that. It's one of those. It really goes into to show how the faux persona of a Jimmy Dore, and I've said this before, his show, why does it exist? So that right-wingers, Republicans can watch a YouTube channel and be like, hey, look at that, we're right, we're correct. Look, even a leftist thinks so. Even a leftist is pointing these same problems out. And obviously, once you start dipping into the anti-vax world, that seems to overlap with a whole bunch of other shit. He fell right into the fucking let's go full transphobia. Jimmy Dore didn't take long on that one. Jimmy Dore touting billionaire Peter Allard and Operation Car Wash in Brazil that took down Lula.
International integrity. So this is a guy named Peter Allard in Canada, Vancouver, and he is school named after him at the University of British Columbia.
Also
and
true.
So the reason I know about this is because he's a fan of the show, eh? And so he likes the Jimmy Dore show, so he reached out to us to come cover this. They're giving away an award biannually, correct? And so they find people who fight corruption all over the world. It is really a heady experience to be there. It was. And Glenn Greenwald was the keynote speaker. And now I want to show you the nominees. So the first finalists, right, finalists for this prize are a group of lawyers from Brazil who are uncovering unbelievable amounts of corruption and winning. So let's watch. This is who they are.
Oops. Oops.
So they're called the Car Wash Task Force. And the reason why is because their investigation started with a money laundering operation that started in a car wash.
Oh, did it?
But then
they
just expanded to almost the whole government. So there you go.
Interesting. Cool. How'd that work out? Obviously, it's like now that it's all coming to light and there's a fucking nonstop list of receipts, it does put into question the entire fucking Jimmy Dore narrative that it's consistently us versus them. You know, he's a truth teller. He's independently funded, doesn't get any outside funding from billionaires, all that kind of stuff. Because at the end of the day, he has to smash the corporate duopoly. Don't forget about that.
But first, let me say this. So I've been getting a lot of comments from people, you know, saying things about Jimmy Dore, telling me, hey, Jimmy Dore this, Jimmy Dore that. And I'm going to tell you, it's been like 75% of people have been supportive. 25% of, you know, people have been like, no, Timmy, crazy. Jimmy Dore is so smart. He's amazing. He's the
that was crackhead, Bernie.
He's the great white hope and all this other stuff. The good thing is that I have an audience that's now built off Jimmy Dore. So I won't lose people. And the people I do lose, they're his people. So I'm okay, and I'm encouraging all you other black commentators. Let go of Jimmy Dore while you still got a chance, man. This guy has destroyed your credibility. He put you in harm's way. By doing this, he didn't care about your reputations. He didn't care about your credibility going forward. This was totally self-serving on his part. And by you taking his side in this, you're destroying your own campaigns. And look, I don't even owe you that, because we know how you did me in support of him before. But as your brother, as your older brother, as an older guy who's been doing this for 12 years now, who's helped a lot of people, even if they backstab me, let me tell you, he ain't worth it. Cut ties. All right, so in this clip, someone sent me this, all right? Someone sent me this in the comment section, and they asked me a question, and now it really makes sense what this person was asking, because at the time, I didn't know what they were talking about.
I also have a question for you, Tim, or anyone with insight. I heard not long ago that Jimmy approached Dr. West's campaign offering to be Dr. West's publicity manager, or something like that, and Dr. West, wisely, said no. Is there any truth to this story? When Dr. West first announced with the People's Party, Jimmy was very excited and supportive. But then, a brief time later, all of a sudden, nothing but hostility toward Dr. West. Tim is right. Jimmy has no core. The rot of greed. The same story as TYT, Crystal Ball, Kyle Kalinske, and all of them. And now it looks like Due Dissidence and Hard Lens Media, and perhaps even Revolutionary Blackout Network are going to continue to support Jimmy, all for access. Which makes them two no better than Crystal Ball, TYT or Ryan Grimm, and his silly book about AOC.
That's interesting, isn't it? Does it sound like it makes sense? Sounds like Graham Elwood has the same story as this anonymous person. Of course, you know, I made the audio. I had to put the audio together and make it so people would get through it. You know.
That silly book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
But I find it very interesting, and I find it a coincidence that it's kind of rare. So I think it's true. And now when I saw this tweet that Dr. Cornel West sent out, serious revolutionaries keep the focus on the suffering and struggling of everyday people who fight against empire, capitalism, white supremacy, male supremacy, homophobia, transphobia. Superficial ones cater to their individual careers, market opportunities, and personal polemics that bring attention only to themselves. Hashtag, people over profits. I guess some people are probably wondering, Tim Black, when you gonna let this go? I let it go when he lets it go. Because see, I believe in this campaign, and I believe it's for the better of the world. I believe that our political process can be helped by this, that we could change politics in America. We could have an impact. And that's what I've been doing politics for, to have a positive impact on the world, man. This ain't for me. It's for my kids. It's for my grandbabies. It's for you. It's for us. That's why I'm with Dr. West. I've made mistakes in the past. In fact, guys, it sounds like listening to Graham Elwood, maybe Jimmy's not a racist. Maybe he's just a narcissistic, petty, vengeful, hateful individual.
I think he's a racist. I think he's a racist and a transphobe.
With also some substance abuse and some other problems. So maybe he's not a racist. But he's damn sure a bigot. And he's damn sure self-centered and power-hungry and a control freak. And his ego is way out of control. And his interests are not those of the people. Their interests are his own personal interest. Very self-serving guy.
If you want to follow Tim Black, here's a link to his channel for that first part. So that's a lot of the new revelations in Jimmy Dore conspiracies as of right now. He's got a rebuttal. Here's why Cornel West is upset, because he's a DNC shill, of course.
So I don't know if you caught what I said. I don't know who's advising you. It sounds like an infiltrator. And then he just snapped. What do you think about? He's like, he doesn't have any advisors. Why wouldn't you have advisors? Of course he did. And he was already in talks with this, with the guy he just hired, this guy, Peter Dow, who is an infiltrator. That's amazing. No wonder Cornel West overreacted, because he hired this guy. He said, I am very blessed to have my brother, Peter Dow. Now, I'm going to tell you who Peter Dow is. Peter Dow is an infiltrator. Peter Dow was one of the hitmen for Hillary Clinton. He smeared everybody 24/7, including myself, including Bernie Sanders, anybody who voted for Bernie Sanders, third party voters, Jill Stein. This guy was a hitman, one of the most big, the biggest smear merchants for Hillary Clinton's corporatism and warmongering. And so that's why when I asked Cornel West this, I think that's why he overreacted. I was trying to give him an out, saying,
This is where the pettiness comes in. Because, yes, by the way, if you want to look at the history of Peter Dow, he was basically kind of like a resistance politician who has obviously moved a lot further left since then, and now is, I'd say, a higher position grab for someone like Cornel West to try and use, because he's actually got political experience in some arenas. But at the same time, yep, you're directly going to open yourself up to this criticism instantaneously. Let's take all of that, put it in a box, and then shove that box out of the way for a couple seconds and get to the talk that just you and Cornel had one-on-one that has nothing to do with any of this. We watched the entire thing. You kept saying and bringing in and invoking this thing where you're like, and I don't want you to talk about white supremacy and get all distracted by this fucking, you know, liberal ID politics of white supremacist bullshit and all this kind of stuff. And then obviously Cornel West is like, you know, living as the lived experience of a black person, not to mention, like, he didn't have to say this, but the guy's like a lifelong civil rights advocate. He has experienced it firsthand. So it's not just like a theory to him, in the same way that Jimmy Dore is trying to say that this is just some kind of like, you know, liberal identity politics weaponized for the benefit of the DNC shills, blah, blah, blah. You're talking to a civil rights activist who is running as an independent against the Democratic Party. Where do you think you are right now?
That, hey, your advisor, I didn't want to call, say he's having bad ideas. I wanted to say his advisors were. I thought that would be a nice way to say it. Watch how he reacts.
Even more condescending now. It's like, oh, no. You didn't actually have those opinions. Those probably weren't your opinions, right? Someone made you say that to me, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't have gone so hard on me. You wouldn't have pushed back. You wouldn't have said that it's kind of ridiculous that I'm kind of choosing this whole lockdown thing as the biggest crisis of our time. I mean, that is pretty fucking privileged, isn't it? To be like the biggest fucking issue of facing our time is COVID lockdowns. It's like, that's when I was like, you saw fucking Cornel West completely go fucking, you know, level up mode when he was being questioned that way and being like, how dare you say something like that when there's the suffering of Palestinians in the world, for example. That's just one of many that I could bring up to. Then this whole fucking, the unvaxxed weren't able to go out for dinner and go to the club. Like, that's the crisis of our area. Like, you weren't forced to be vaccinated. You didn't have to, but other people didn't have to be forced to be around your sick ass. That's the biggest crisis of our time.
Campaign to pick up traction. This is the opposite way to do it. Who was ever advising you sounds like an infiltrator. Oh,
but why do you keep saying advise? I'm thinking for myself, but I'm a
okay.
Free
I don't mean to insult
man.
You. That's not. So I think that's why. So here he is. He announces it. They're going to work together. Los Angeles presidential candidate. So there it is. That's the announcement. Now, so what kind of garbage is Peter Dow known for? He's known for making false attacks on people and hiding behind sexism, racism, misogyny, everything. So when he was working for Hillary Clinton, Chris Cillizza tweeted out, it's been 263 days since Hillary Clinton last held a press conference. That's a dangerous president. That's a year, right? Or almost, that's like three quarters of a year, mm-hmm. isn't it? 260? Mm-hmm. Anyway, who cares? It's a long time.
It's a long time.
And so he retweets this.
Yeah, like Loss is mentioning, if Loss, for example, someone who's visibly indigenous, started talking about issues that relate to indigenous people, such as missing and murdered indigenous women, that's not someone doing liberal identity politics for the benefit of the fucking the Democrats or the liberals in Canada or whatever it is. If you have someone who's talking about issues that can directly either pertain to them or broadly speaking, you could just talk about issues that you think are kind of fucked up in society, that doesn't by default setting mean, well, that's identitarianism. Yeah, you're just hiding behind all these terms. These bad words make me feel bad. Oh, I'm a transphobe. Oh, I'm a TERF. Oh, I'm a racist. Oh, I'm a bigot. Ah, it's us versus them. Me and my fucking billionaire backed fucking Peter Allen funds.
This guy's saying Trump not releasing his tax returns is no problem, though. Okay, those things don't have anything to do with each other. So that's just them trying to deflect. He retweets it, and then he's...
Anyways, as you can imagine, this entire thing is about how Peter Dow and Peter Dow's history of being a fucking DNC shill has corrupted Cornel West's brain and turned Cornel West into a fucking DNC hack, which, by the way, for what I would consider to be, in complete honesty, a very fair and balanced pushback of, like, by the way, how can you in one breath, Jimmy Dore, keep saying that white supremacy and even discussing it is a distraction? It's a distraction from the issues. While at the same time, the biggest issue and crises facing us today was the COVID lockdowns. That is the most privileged fucking bullshit in the world. And then to get into this weird defensive and like, am I supposed to be ashamed for how I was born, for being white? Am I supposed to apologize for? No. No, that this is white supremacist talking points. What are you talking about? No one is asking white folk to suddenly hate themselves for the color of their skin. No one is asking white people to be ashamed of who they are or who their families are. They're saying, do you understand the concept of whiteness, the concept of othering, the concept of racialization, the concept of how people are treated different? Do you need to see the stats? Do you need to see the criminal justice system stats on how people are treated differently if they're white or black in America? Do you need to see the stats in Canada, how you're treated differently? If you're indigenous or white in Canada, they are dramatic when you look at the numbers. What explains that? Is it that inherently racialized people just are more prone to committing crime? Or is there something else going on here? Could this speak to a lot of issues, including issues that you as a leftist pretend to care about? Issues of class warfare, of poverty. Does poverty suddenly lead to increases in things like crime, drug use, things like that? If there is a correlation there, doesn't that speak more? There's nothing that pisses me off more than the idea of people trying to stand behind, like, you know, Sam Harris did this with race and IQ and the bell curve and being like, you know, I had thought that the entire thing was obviously some kind of racist quackery. I'd been told that by my colleagues. But then when I looked deeper into this, I found that this was simply data and raw data that was being reported upon. I don't understand why we can't talk about this raw data. Well, motherfucker, listen to a much more credible and better and based ass scientist like Stephen Jay Gould, who will be like, what does the race and IQ thing truly demonstrate? What are we looking at here? What is this representational of? What are these numbers representing? Because when I look at these numbers, I see poverty. I see incredibly inadequate schooling systems in areas that are predominantly black in America. So that's what this data shows me. Not that black people are inherently lower IQ. That's the fucking racist part. That's like, and when people see this and they see these numbers and they're like, oh, okay, so white people have higher IQs, black people have lower IQs, you get all these white supremacists who try to use this as a justification for things like mass incarceration. And that's fucked. And that needs to be talked about. And talking about that is not liberal identity politics. In fact, I would posit that most liberals don't want to go that deep. They'd be like, yeah, I don't know. We're getting a bit off course here. Let's just get back to white guilt. Have you read it? Okay, good. Have you experienced your white guilt? Have you absolved yourself? Good. Okay, we're good. We have absolved. We are clean.
It says this.
I want to give a shout out to Dan from the internet for reminding me of one of the greatest fucking Michael Brooks and Sam Cedar sketches of all time. This is the late and great Michael Brooks doing and I would say immortalizing fucking Jimmy Dore and Gray Zone and fucking faux weird clown shoes left.
With me as always is Todd Snowflake and the Mopey Progressive. How is everybody?
Terrible as usual.
Terrible as usual, says the Mopey Progressive. And of course, we got Todd Snowflake on the line. Got a lot to get through today. But of course, for the special power hour, I got to first warn you, you're about to enter caution. You're about to enter a no fucking sellout zone. And joining me via Skype, he's a journalist. He's a guy who's done more to expose the corruption at the DNC than practically anybody. He's an independent. He's a guy who's also recently, we're going to talk about in a minute, he's getting smeared a lot by so-called progressives. I call them faux fucking aggressives because they're not and they promote war. A.A. Seaman is with us from Skype. A.A., thank you for being here.
There's just so much to love about this. It's so darling, especially fucking like, you know, rest in peace, Michael Brooks, you absolute genius. This whole thing from start to finish. I love the lights. I love the lighting. The fucking Caleb Maupin. Why is the lighting always on the down? Are you telling ghost stories? Are you about to tell ghost stories?
Thank you, Donnie. I just, as you know, I'm a journalist and an editor and an author. And a radio personality, a producer and an auteur, showrunner, a certified public accountant, day laborer, too. And a homemaker. I also do some search engine optimization, and as well as solution coordinator, and a content strategist, and a user experience magistrate.
So AA, you do so many things, but yeah. One of the things we know you for is exposing the corruption of the DNC. And so you go on all
I'm
sorts of platforms.
And I'm also a creative director, yes.
And also a creative wow. So that's amazing. So you go on a lot of different outlets to talk about the corruption of the DNC, because as we know, Bernie Sanders.
Watching Sam, I'm watching both of them just break throughout this entire thing. Like, I could see, by the way, how, like, if a right-winger was watching this, they would be like, this is so cringe. It's like two people who think themselves so funny. Whereas, like, no, this is two comedians who obviously are losing it over one another's characters right now.
Sanders was going to win the election. He didn't blow the fire alarm, so they stole it. And now Donald Trump is president. But yesterday, or last week, I should say, you were on a show... I don't listen to this show. Apparently, it's called The Eternal Jew, which I guess is kind of a weird name for a show. I don't know. I don't listen to it. But you were there to talk about corruption in the DNC and how to end wars. And now the left, now they're smearing you.
Yeah, they are. Okay. On the negative side, they're against Jews, but they are also against war and appreciate all the corruption that's happened at the DNC. And so they have a plan to end war. It just happens to be involving the Jews not creating so many wars. But we're all on the same side, and we have to be able to make those type of alliances, or we're not going to end war.
Right, and then they say we should work with Rachel Maddow, even though she's calling for war every single night. And then you go on, and then you say, oh, well, the Pittsburgh shooter was used to be a patron or whatever the fuck of the show you were on. But then people will say that. I say it's the narcissism of small difference, like Chris Hedges. We could come together, whether you're saying police shouldn't shoot you if you're Mexican at the border, which we don't like, but maybe also you believe in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, but we should come together because we don't want fucking corruption and war, and now they're smearing you for it.
Well, I just finished making a video where I commented on the video made by Jason over at the Inclusionary Revolutionary, and the video that he made commenting on the anonymous unanimous dissent video, which of course was a comment on Left or Our Own Devices that Ken had done over there, commenting on the fascist fuckers video that was a critique of what Anna Kasparian said. And so people can see
Anna Kasparian.
Yes, at my channel, AA Seaman, at YouTube.
AA Seaman, it's just so important we look at his videos if you want to understand what happened at the DNC. He's been top of it from the beginning, and also what will happen next.
The media has let go of this story. I am still chasing down some leads about the DNC's involvement with Vince Foster, but we can talk about that in a moment.
With Vince Foster? Whoa.
Yes.
I didn't even know about that.
I will have an exclusive on this probably soon.
Whoa. So I have to look for that. So I want to play a little piece of tape for us, everybody here in studio and for AA. Because, you know, I keep hearing from other channels. Like
I love all the windows moving around.
MSNBC, and I actually don't see the mini MSNBC clip that we're going to play on this list about the Supreme Court, but I hope we have it. But we're going to go another direction first. So you keep hearing about how the Democratic Party, they're going to change. Progressive media is going to get better. Bernie Sanders is saying we should work inside the party, even though they stole it from him.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. It's fucking disgusting. He didn't blow the fire alarm, so now the Democrats run everything and they promote war. But I call him
Bernie sellout Sanders.
Yes, because he's a fucking sellout, and we're gonna get to him soon. But first, maybe I don't know. Maybe Chris Hayes. He used to be a labor reporter. He used to report on labor. Maybe he's on it. Here's Chris Hayes just the other night. Let's see what he had to say.
Good evening from New York. I'm Chris Hayes. Almost every day we see new evidence that members of the president's inner circle have been willing to auction off American foreign policy to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
And that might be more than anything.
A Groaning Bum, thank you for the rating party of 8. Can anyone go to twitch.tv/groaningbum? Give a Groaning Bum a follow back.
The story of the corruption of this presidency.
Corruption. I didn't hear him. I didn't hear any mention of the fucking Clinton Global Initiative. Or Nancy Pelosi. Do I have maybe my hearings going? Did I miss something?
No, he managed to completely avoid all of the corruption stories about Nancy Pelosi, about Hillary Clinton, about...
The reason why, outside of just like the darling silly of this, why it's so on point and why I absolutely love like every aspect of this bit is that everything is so true. It's like there's this entire weird is the only way I can explain it, but weird ecosystem of like, you know, leftist content creators who just always have to out corruption each other. I am the least corrupt, uncorruptible of the corruptest, you know, like, and everything is about how every other person is part of the corporate duopoly. You see, that's only a matter of time until these people fall to the corporate duopoly and get paid off. And then it's just like, it's so wild that these same people, aka Jimmy Dore, he's straight up being funded by billionaires. And if you've got billionaire funding and then that billionaire funding led to you giving a very wonderful press circuit to a billionaire, holy fuck. Like, I'm now meeting with this person and he's actually the only person standing up for like truth and press, and he believes about the real fight, and it's not the fact that he's throwing me these $5,000 gifts every now and then here and there. It's more that he cares. He actually cares about ending the corruption. It's us versus them. Us versus, that's all it is. No one's willing to tell you that though. No one has the fucking guts to tell you the truth. It's us versus the fucking corporate elites, the globalists, the cabal. Oh shit. The globalists, it's us versus them. And then we have to make sure that we stop it. And that's why we may have to partner with a couple people who may have a couple of weird ass ties to some fash. But at the end of the day, they're speaking truth to power. You know, how many people here were around for the fucking the Boogaloo Boy arc when Jimmy Dore was not only fucking talking about the Boogaloo Boys in a favorable light, he was bringing spokesmen on for the Boogaloo Boys and all of a sudden talking to them and being like, by the way, I mean, people are saying that you're apparently some part of a, I don't know, alt-right white supremacist organization. legislation or stuff like that. And it seems to me all you care about is ending the police state, ending mass incarceration. That's what I'm told to believe. You believe in freedom of firearms, that everyone should be able to have firearms. I think we're speaking the same language. Why don't we align? Why don't we? And then, you know, obviously, I think it was, yeah, Rod Weber was the one who actually like came forward and was doing an interview with Jimmy and was like, did you do any research into who the Boogaloo Boys are, what the organization stands for, what the origins of the organization are, how so much of it is actually deeply entwined with white supremacist organizations? Do you know the goal, why they call themselves the Boogaloo Boys, why they use that symbol of the igloo and everything like that, what that all represents? Did you know the race war that they're trying to start, the actual civil war that they think they are on the cusp of enacting? Do you know? And he was like, "Oh no, I don't know. I don't know about that. I had the, you know, the kid on, and he was talking about a lot of things that I agree with. You know, the two of us are against, you know, the police state. We talked about that, and then he wants freedom for guns. There's that aspect as well. And it, like, to me, that was like the most mind blowing Jimmy Dore moment, where it's like, not only do you not know what you're talking about, to a dangerous, really dangerous degree, you did zero fucking research on this. Zero. To the point that you don't even know what the Boogaloo Boys are about.
Bill Clinton, about Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and the DNC.
And also Chuck Schumer and Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yep. Not a single word. I wonder why he's completely avoiding that in that clip. Didn't say anything about it whatsoever. It's almost as if you can see his corporate taskmasters handing him a big wad of cash.
And you can feel the fear. And, you know, last week, Tim Canova was telling us that the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz gave him the first from computer to human transmitted virus. But I bet you won't hear about that from Chris Hayes. And he used to be a fucking labor reporter.
This is legit how Doris fans respond to Lance's tweets. Oh, every time, Agronian Bum. Every time I get a fucking response, it'll be like, oh, fucking decocked liberal serfs once again supporting the corporate duopoly, blah, blah, blah. I talk shit about the DNC nonstop. I'm not even a fucking American. I can't vote for the Democrats or the Republicans. I don't have that right, you know? And I talk shit. Today I was posting about how there's this BBC article that just came out being like, the absolute and utter devastation of Libya right now is a sign that they were unable to rebuild after, you know, the terrible rule of Gaddafi. And I was like, and what else? What else happened that led to Libya being in utter shambles? Why don't they have any infrastructure? Why? What, was there anything that happened perhaps to their mass irrigation systems? You know, like NATO allies bombing the ever-loving fuck out of that country? Did that lead to some bad times? Maybe? Democrats? Hey, Barack Obama, you, yeah, the first gay president of the United States, apparently now, according to the right. Didn't you say that was the biggest regret of your presidency? And, I mean, fair dues. That's a pretty big oopsie.
Total labor reporter. Not so much anymore. Now he's just a... It's more like Chris Shilhay.
Anakin Sparian said on one of his shows, if you're not American, you're not allowed to talk about the USA. Really? Like, you know what's funny? And I'll say this to Americans. I only get that from America. Other countries are always so stoked when I do segments on them. I'm like, all right, everybody, today we're talking about Ireland. And all of a sudden, all the Irish are like, hell yeah, Irish politics, so nice, it's getting local now. And Americans are like, just like Americans who are against what I'm saying, obviously, they're always like, you can't fucking talk about this shit, you're a Canadian.
I like that, Chris Hayes. I like that a lot.
Chris Hayschel.
Chris Hayschel. Giving a facial for the corporations because he's a fucking sellout. Speaking of fucking sellouts, there's another a coward on YouTube. He does a mini MSNBC show, and he wants Chris Hayes' job, but he stammers too much. And he's one of these guys that's always going on that, oh, no, we need to stop Trump because of the Supreme Court. Guess what? You voted for Hillary.
Peter Allard is a billionaire philanthropist from my hometown, Vancouver, Canada, who has done a lot of philanthropy. And so because of his philanthropic work, he's considered one of the good billionaires in the same way that Bill Gates is considered one of the good billionaires. And he's also a funder of the Jimmy Dore show. And once that's now been thoroughly exposed, it's one of those things where Jimmy Dore, his whole shtick is shitting on people who he feels are corporate sellouts. You know, look at this fucking Sam Cedar motherfucker, corporate sellout, MSNBC peacock motherfucker, constantly fucking shilling for the DNC, unwilling to fucking break down the corporate duopoly, only cares about being a fucking, you know, hack Biden bro, all that kind of shit. Like, you hear this nonstop, and then it's like you were taking direct funding from a billionaire who wanted you to push some weird anti-vax fucking perspectives, and this is coming from some of Jimmy Dore's like oldest and closest friends. And then there's all this video footage that now has surfaced of Jimmy Dore thoroughly being like, well, I didn't know who this guy was. I hadn't really heard of him. And $5,000 randomly just like appeared as a donation. It was like one of the biggest donations we've ever had. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe this, what's this guy about? I contacted his organization. I spoke to him and it turns out he's an incredible person. He's doing incredible work. Here is some of the coverage that his organization has done in Operation Car Wash. And then it's like, oh, oops, you were on the other side of that one. You mean the one that went after Lula? Well, okay, we'll ignore that part for now. But really nice guy. I'm going to go interview him repeatedly.
And you still got Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme.
Meanwhile, Sam's out there selling bidets and CBD. Yeah, CBD. And what's the tushy one or whatever?
Fucking court. How do you feel like a chump now? But let's play this clip because he's going to go into Ohio and everything else. Not a word when the DNC was stealing it from Bernie, but he's going to talk now. And we're going to talk about it. And I don't know, maybe he's not a fucking sellout anymore.
The central question in this case was...
No idea. Gotcha.
Whether the National Voter Registration Act prevented this type of notify, wait, and purge process.
Pause it. I'm a fucking sellout. I'm a fucking sellout. Okay, keep playing it.
According to the NVRA, registrants who have not responded to a notice and who have not voted in two consecutive general elections for federal office shall be removed from the official list of eligible voters, except that no registrant may be removed solely by reason of a failure to vote. Okay? Now, Alito, when he wrote the opinion deciding this case, says that Ohio does not rely solely on a failure to vote to remove them from this, from the rolls. Breyer, on the other hand, in writing the dissent,
so what he's
points out that, in fact, the process does not start, or I should say, this process starts because of a failure to vote.
You know, Donnie, he talks so slowly, you can't follow anything he's saying.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And it's because he's covering up for the fact that he doesn't even talk about the DNC in this.
Yeah, well,
and
exactly.
Even people who voted for Hillary Clinton, in no way did it help with the voter disenfranchisement that's happening in Ohio. He is spending his time on this and doesn't say a single word about Seth Rich, which is still a question.
True.
There's a lot of questions, and I guess my question.
A lot of questions, no answers. Where are the answers?
For you, AA, as a content curator and an investigative journalist and someone who's blown the lid on all the corruption, is do you think that he's doing that on purpose?
I'm also a dental hygienist.
Do you think he's doing that on purpose, or is he just so fearful that the fucking oxygen isn't circulating to his brain? Because guess fucking what? Brett Kavanaugh would be on the Supreme Court even if Hillary Clinton was elected to fucking presidency. Merrick Garland said that he wanted to strip birthright citizenship. I saw it some fucking where. Don't ask me for a citation. I'm a fucking jerk-off comedian. But...
That's always the defense, though, right? That's always the Jimmy Dore defense. He always falls back on that. Why am I the one finding this out? You know, I'm a fucking pothead jerk-off comedian. I have a show out of my fucking garage. Why am I the one figuring out all these hardcore facts?
But that's the fucking point. And the same thing would have happened anyways. And Bernie Sanders, we're going to get to him in a second. He won't even come on this fucking show.
Yes.
So is it, am I crazy? Am I crazy?
No.
Let's go take a call. You're calling from a 757 area code. Who are you? Where are you calling from? Welcome. You're in the no fucking sellout zone. Seven five seven. Are you here? Todd Snowflakes, hi. Let's try another call. You're calling from an 847 area code. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Osh from Chicago.
Osh from Chicago. Gotta be quick.
Hi, I just want to say that I love the investigative journalism you're doing. I think it's super spot on. Matt Bernie Sanders is a fucking corporate sellout. Also, have you heard that Michael Brooks? I mean, what is... I mean, he's talking about, like, you know, the Lavanciotto thing. I want to get a T-shirt with Lavanciotto.
So like, Todd Snowflake's been asking for a Lavanciotto T-shirt because, well, Todd, why do you want a T-shirt for what happened in Brazil when they put all the fucking the corporatists like Lula? They put him in jail because they fucking investigate people there.
I think clearly
I know. It's great.
I'm gonna go to Todd Snowflake on that. Thanks for the call. Todd, why do you want a Lavanciotto T-shirt?
Same reason I believe this.
So I say vote third party, no matter what, no matter where you are. I don't care if you're in a swing state.
I don't know who the fuck that is, but I agree.
Under a fascist government.
Because you know, what they did was they showed, because, and now everybody's saying, oh, Bolsonaro, he's saying that I'm going to kill all the gay people. As if there wasn't fucking homophobia in Brazil when Lula was president. Fuck off.
Donnie, I did a video commenting on the Righteous Opinions video that he did about the humanitarianism's video that was a critique of the culture counter contra spin video that was done in reaction to the fascist Ferger video and the video that was basically a total takedown of the entitlement enlightenment video that Kevin did, and I agreed with what you said.
Yeah, no, and I think a lot of people were glad you did that video because there was a lot of propaganda going around the internet because people say they're doing independent news, but really what they're doing is repeating DNC talking points, and the DNC is corrupt. So.
And I love that like that video got out there and got a full like 543 views and like 12 like likes to show you how they actually like negatively impacted the corporate duopoly. Like if that video hadn't been released, like, you know, things would have been way worse.
And a lot of what you're going to hear now about is Kamala Harris because they want to put a pretty face back on corruption. They want soul cycle corruption, not ugly fat corruption. So they like Kamala Harris, even though she's a corporatist. And Kamala Harris came out and she supported Bernie Sanders. She's saying that she supports health care for all, which I don't even know if Bernie even supports it anymore because he's still in the Democratic caucus. But here she is, and she's going to say that she supports Bernie Sanders' plan. And I want to know if everybody in the studio and AA recognizes anything about how Kamala Harris announces her fucking support.
Kamala Harris of California.
Thank you, Bernie. Well, I'm honored to stand with my colleagues and be in a room full of leaders. And this is a moment in time that I think we know is a very significant moment in time for our country, where we, all of us, are standing up and saying, let's just do what's right. You've heard so many folks talk about it because we know it. Listen, no baby is born in America born as a Democrat or a Republican. This should not be thought of as a partisan issue, not even a bipartisan issue. This is a nonpartisan issue. Cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure affects folks around our country regardless of whether they're in a red state or a blue state, regardless
of their
income,
regardless of their status.
You were born a
socialist? Wow, that's cool.
Status. And we should not differentiate in the way that we do public health policy. We should understand everyone, all, should receive the health care they need, regardless of where they live, their income, or their zip code. And that's what this bill is about, and I am proud to co-sponsor it. It is about saying that this is about a right, not about a privilege for a few. And let's be clear, it is not only about what is the right thing to do morally and ethically.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean? It's not the right thing to do morally or ethically? Did you hear that, AA?
I did. You know, I did a video that was in response to the Temporal Talkers video that Resistance Radio had critiqued, which was a response to the loophole liberal Ken over there. And then, of course, Jason at the Horseshoe Hero had written a video, Dunhead video, that was actually semi-animated. And my response was... Can we play the video again? The one by Harris?
Well, I think your response was that Kamala Harris, because did you see how bored she looked? Like, she didn't even want to be there. Maybe if it was a press conference for bombing Russia, she would be excited.
You know what's funny is... They predicted a lot in this skit, by the way. Like, the Rage Against the Corporate Sellout Hour. That's almost the name for that entire fucking rally, the Rage Against the War Machine.
She seemed to be, like, completely uninterested. Could you see her body language? One of the things that I said on the video that I was a response to the egoless egalitarian was her body language totally...
Do you guys think she might be ill?
Well, that was the question, because the mopey progressive had said that that she's a dead ringer for having MS, and I thought she does look kind of strange the way she's, if you see the way she's sort of holding herself there, like she's trying to say, like, I do Pilates, but really my whole central nervous system's breaking down. You can't really tell what's happening.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if that hot topic adult slut from the Majority Report were here, she might say that this is a sign the left is making some progress. Maybe we can use Medicare for All as the tip of the spear to get us closer to socialism. But
Jamie,
that's just something a
sellout
would say.
That's bullshit. Fuck off. Fuck off with that. And, you know, these are the same people who will tell me in AA to not retweet Mike Cernovich to end fucking war.
We are close to ending war because Cernovich has helped us. He's got a lot.
You know what's so sad is this is all still happening. This bit is just as relevant today, start to finish. Like, every other day, it's like, whoa, Glenn Greenwald just retweeted that fucking rape apologist Mike Cernovich? Wait, why? And then it's like, well, he's calling out war, which will end war, and is good. Yeah, he says he wants to end all funding to Ukraine, because at the end of the day, it is a war primarily engaged directly between America and Russia, and actually Ukraine doesn't exist, and actually Ukraine is just like a vassal state, and Ukraine is actually just an American property, and because of that, that's what's actually happening. So I'm quote tweeting that. Ignore everything else about the person, because the message resounds strongly with my own beliefs. That's because, again, I'm fighting corruption.
A lot of actually great ideas, particularly about funnel sales.
Exactly. And then people said, oh, maybe, I don't know, do I agree with his promoting, I guess there was some type of pill that you give to gorillas at the zoo, and he was saying to give it to girls. And I was saying, I don't agree with that. But the next one that said that Assad is a hero of Syria, I do fucking agree with. We can't work across lines. Fuck off.
I think that FDR and Lenin teamed up.
Exactly. You're the historian. I'm just a jack-off comedian. I didn't know that. That's a bit. Todd, did you know that Lenin and FDR teamed up? I'd like to get a Lenin and FDR t-shirt. It's unbelievable. It's fucking amazing.
I don't know. FDR was a bit of a sellout.
Yeah. FDR.
Yep. Oh, yeah, political puppy. This is a great test of how far I've come and healed, because, like, I feel fantastic right now. If anything, this whole thing has been very healing. It's I mean, you know what? It's nice to see that this all changed. You know, we're not still living in this exact fucking scenario.
Well, we had another, speaking of sellouts now.
You know what's wild, too, is that, like, right now, so any single person who even, like, remotely acknowledges anything good that has come from a Democrat in any way, shape, or form, especially not even at the federal level, but, like, at the state level, if you're suddenly, like, oh, well, these programs that have been implemented, say, in Minnesota, have had dramatic, incredible things and benefits. Say, though, the taxing the rich by 1% has resulted in a feeding all of the children program. There are now available school lunches for every single child, regardless of their family income, regardless of their social situation. That is going to dramatically impact and help child starvation. This is an amazing thing. We should probably do more of this. This is an effective program that shows directly if you do, in fact, tax the rich more, you can use it to pay for social safety programs that can benefit the very poor. And that will disproportionately also affect marginalized communities, people of color, all of that. This is awesome. And then if you say that right away, it's like, so apparently Kalinske, fucking corporate DNC shell out Bernie bro, fucking gone to Biden bro here, hardcore fucking Bidencrat, fucking think he's like Joe Brandon hero, fucking touting all this shit. This guy wasn't even in charge of that program. Biden didn't do shit all, you know, Biden wasn't a part of it, but he's saying this is apparently a good thing. It's like, yeah, he's pointing out that guess what? As a leftist, we don't have the power, like the ultimate supreme power. There is like every person who's been getting furious at AOC for years, like, why won't she do the socialism yet? She says she's socialist, won't push the socialism button. It's like, you can also look at what is effective to try and get your goals. What are your aims? Are your aims going to be attained simply by saying like, well, it's not until we have a hardcore like leftist, say like Jill Stein in power, that anything's actually going to happen. And until that truly comes to pass, the corporate duopoly will never be destroyed. Anyone who doesn't agree with that is a corporate shill and just wants to uphold the corporate duopoly. And it's like, in my lifetime, I have seen a bigger rise of progressives infiltrating the democratic system than I had in generations prior. Like, you want to point towards Bernie Sanders now being a complete and utter fucking sellout. The Bernie Sanders run, both of them, especially the second one, did more to further concepts like fucking even social democracy. That, like, I don't think people realize how, as little as like 10 years ago, that word was still a McCarthy era fucking terrible term that people were scared shitless of saying publicly. When you've got a Bernie Sanders going on mainstream television all of a sudden, sitting across from all those late night hosts like Jimmy Kimmel and you know, Fallon and all them, and being like, so you say you're a socialist? It's like, well, I'm a social democrat. I believe in social democracy, similar to the systems they have in Scandinavia. I think that those are robust welfare systems that really account for a lot of systems and problems that we have in the United States that I would like to see enacted, such as eliminating things like homelessness, poverty, higher education being available to everybody, no healthcare costs out of pocket as soon as you have a problem that happens to you, which happens to all of us eventually. So I think these systems should be emulated, the successful ones, and then we can also critique other aspects of it. Of course, like any other system, it's not perfect. A lot of the riches that a lot of Scandinavia enjoys, for example, have also come at the hands of imperialism, etc. But I do think that those programs would have a benefit. We should be taxing the rich enormously in this country as they are making just voluminous amounts of profit and use that to pay for a lot of the systems that we need to have a healthy society, and then everything will operate better. That never used to be a thing, you know? You never used to see Stephen Colbert sitting across from him being like, interesting, because like when I hear that word, I think like Stalin, you know, and like USSR and shit when you say that. But you're saying that there's countries that are doing this better. Yeah, there is countries that are doing this better. Have you looked at what every single year a lot of the countries that report the highest levels of like happiness and satisfaction, they happen to be countries that have incredibly robust social systems, very high taxation for its citizens, true, but that usually pays for a lot of like programs that benefit everybody. And it turns out when everybody is healthier, happier, more educated, all these systems exist, society runs in a way in which people report a lot of levels of satisfaction. There's obviously a lot of problems that are still in that system. Xenophobia is very rampant in those countries. They don't want people from the outside coming in to take advantage of their social systems and structures. That's a criticism that can be levied. You know, the same xenophobia that exists in America that exists in every other country is certainly going to play a part if you have a more robust, social system, welfare system. But like this kind of shit, you wouldn't just hear a guy talking to a mainstream lib like fucking Stephen Colbert and getting Colbert to agree with, you know. That's why, like, as much shit as someone like Cornel West still to this day gets from fucking so many aspects of fucking, the so-called left, that episode of Cornel West with Joe Rogan is to this day, I still contend, the best episode of Joe Rogan I've ever watched. I watched it start to finish and was captivated, and I was like, what an incredible public speaker. You're sitting across from a libertarian fucking do or die, I don't give a fuck, the government is what fucks everything up, it's the government that's the problem, welfare, all this kind of shit, and you're sitting across from Joe Rogan and you're getting him to suddenly see that all of the things that he's thought are so scary, not that it's stuck, but all of the things that he sees are so scary in his audience too, right, is not. You've been lied to. You grew up under McCarthyism, most likely, or your parents did, and that shit, it is generational. You still have this all inside your bodies that, like, any single system that actually benefits people is communism. But that's where a lot of these memes to this day get. Communism is when the government does stuff. That's communism, you know? And then you're like, well, that's Stalin, and that's gulags, and that's the Holodomor, and that's I don't want this in America. Not in my America, you know? We're trying to get, like, Chinese-style communism taking us over. And then it's like, no one really appreciates what, like, having a mass awakening of generations to a lot of these concepts to not be scary anymore. Where you know, you have just like thousands upon thousands of younger TikTokers just all of a sudden pointing all of this stuff out. It's like, hey, did you know, do you work for your boss? Do you work 8 hours a day? Does he pay you minimum wage? Did you know that in order to produce a profit under your labor, he has to actually make more money and generate more income off your labor in order to turn a profit? That's how profit works. That's how capitalism works. That's the system. What do you think about that? And then it's like, oh, well, that's just, it kind of seems just inherently unfair. It could be, it depends how you look at it, right? What about doing it like this? These are job creators and they actually provide jobs, so they're good. This would be what we consider good capitalism instead of like corrupt capitalism that's happening, all that kinds of, like, you didn't see that. You didn't, like, it was still such a fucking taboo. Like, leftists would have to refer to themselves maybe as, like, broadly speaking, the left or something like that, but they wouldn't be out and proud like socialists. Like, I am a fucking socialist. I'm a fucking, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve kind of shit. You'd have to hide your power levels and kind of stuff like that.
We supported.
I'm gonna play a little bit more of this, but obviously I do have to move on. People are asking for a link to it because it's fucking just like a brilliant sketch that has not aged at all. It's still just as relevant today. There it is. And once again, a huge shout out to, you know, the late and great Michael Brooks. What an absolute legend. You know, rest in peace,
Bernie Sanders. And we said, I mean, AAU and me and other people, we were blowing the fog alarm. We were saying,
I've told this story before, but if anyone doesn't know, Michael Brooks was one of the nicest people to me when I was first starting out in the scene. Not just because, like, you know, and also shout out to, you know, Matt Leck for bringing me on the Majority Report when, you know, Nazis fucking got my YouTube channel taken down, and they were the biggest people who, like, platformed me and did a segment on me and all that kind of stuff, telling me to call in, and they like, put me to the top of the dial. And then, you know, Michael Brooks ended up doing a bad Canadian impersonation of me and all that kind of stuff. He's like, oh, just the nicest guy talking about getting, you know, a copyright strike by some Nazis then and there. He's like, oh, you know, a couple of Nazis came over there and there. But he actually ended up reaching out to me. We ended up, like, starting to, like, you know, start a friendship. We spoke, like, offline numerous times. I was actually the one who was, like, working on producing, getting the Michael Brooks Show onto Twitch when, you know, the Majority Report was first moving on there. I reached out to him and I was like, hey, if you want, I can help you set you up on Twitch, all that kind of stuff. He was so generous with his time and had none of it. None of it. Every single time I spoke to the guy, he had like 16 things going on. One of the busiest motherfuckers ever. It'd be like, hey, Lance, it's good to talk to you. I got to do like an interview about my new book coming out. That's like in like 25 minutes. I can only speak really quickly. But what do you got to say about like this whole moving the Michael Brooks Show to like Twitch, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, always generous with his time, even though I was a nobody, which like, I can't say that about a lot of fucking big names for sure.
The DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Tom Perez and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews and Chris Hayes again. They were all, and Joe Biden and Tim Kaine, that they were going to steal the election from Bernie Sanders and then declare a war with Iran and Russia simultaneously, and then get Merrick Garland on the fucking Supreme Court, who doesn't support Roe v. Wade, which you reported too. And we reported all of that, but Bernie Sanders, he said nothing. And I'm starting to get scared that maybe they have something on him.
Well, Bernie Sanders has never been on my show.
Ah. He hasn't been on mine either, but I will show you. Look, check out this clip of him.
No, I've tweeted at him. It has never come on.
Sounds like a smoking fucking gun to me.
Well, let's look at this. This is Bernie Sanders, who won't respond to AA's tweets, or the mopey progressive.
I was on his side. Now I don't like him.
Or how they will be, or if.
You know, Anderson, there's almost nothing that one can say. The idea of tearing little children from the arms of their parents, putting them into detention cages, and then making a big deal about an executive order which may do absolutely nothing for these 2,300 children is literally beyond belief. Trump once again has lied He told the American people that this was a policy created by Congress, could only be addressed by Congress. He was lying. Of course, it was a crisis that he created and attempted to address today, but he didn't go anywhere near far enough. So where we are right now is close to 2,400 kids are still separated from their parents. There is no understanding, as your reporters have indicated, when these children will be reunited.
He'll go on CNN and whitewash Barack Obama's record, but he won't respond to your fucking tweet.
Yeah, that you hear what he says there, and then you think he won't come on my show.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. And if you think about it, you and I were doing the math earlier. Hillary Clinton didn't go on my show or your show. That's 0-2, and she lost.
Totally lost.
Do the fucking math.
Do the math.
Well, if they
you hear him talk about those things, and then you realize he hasn't been on either one of our shows, and it's just, why should he get support?
If he doesn't like ICE so much, what does he want, the Clinton Global Initiative to do border security?
Well, I mean, that's the other question, is that we don't like ICE, and we need to, you know, to end war. But I think Hillary Clinton might have even been worse if they unleashed. Could you imagine, you know, Global Initiative security forces? They would probably be killing multiple people at maybe at the Canadian border, too.
It's true.
There's a lot of international viewers who watch my show.
Il est même dans le cadre. It's a meme making fun of Jimmy Dore.
There's a lot of people.
C'est une impression de Jimmy Dore.
Let's go back to the phones. You're calling from a 978 area code. Who are you? Where are you calling from? You're at the no fucking sellout zone.
Hey, I'm calling from Baghdad, Iraq. My name is Sammy.
Sammy, this is a very interesting time for you to call.
Yes, and I'm not prepared for this. I'm not going to be like this, but yes, I'm calling to talk about Jimmy Dore. I swear.
Who? Who's that?
Some brilliant guy, leftist.
Is he a fucking sellout?
There's other YouTube channel that I used to watch around the election called The Majority Report. They are the real sellouts.
Well, they're mini MSNBC, and what happens is that Sam Cedar and Michael Brooks and Matt Leck and Jamie Peck and Brendan Finn, what they like to do is smear progressives.
Cedar.
No, because they kept on telling us to vote for the lesser evil, and that's. It's a stupid idea because the left is still evil.
Right, and it's still evil.
I think the caller's playing along.
Guess what? They did
absolutely
that. They said, oh, vote for the Supreme Court. Donald Trump's president. How does it feel to be a fucking chump?
And here's the thing. They said vote for Hillary, but they neglected the fact that Trump would destroy the Republican Party. And that's what we want as the final, you know, as the... whatever we want to get from this. But
exactly.
Seriously speaking, so, yeah, and it's happening. It's happening. See, like we have a week from, I don't know, a week until the election, and it's happening.
Well, you know, what it reminds me of.
Vote for the Greens.
What it reminds me of is if you can vote without fear, but because there's this race, there's a guy named Steve King in Iowa, and we don't like Steve King.
Yeah.
He's not. I mean, actually, AA, I know, has done several podcasts with him and asked for his autograph.
He's come on my show.
Yeah. So maybe we don't all see eye to eye on everything. But Steve King, you know, he says some pretty bad stuff about immigrants and whatnot. And so there's a Democrat running against him. And I have not heard that Democrat say that Hillary Clinton should be tried in The Hague. So I've said I'm not going to support her because, to me, I'm not going to support the candidate because they want me to.
Who's Sam supposed to be? Basically, like, I don't know, Caleb Maupin, Gray Zone, Aaron Matei, every one of these, like, super conspiratorial so-called leftists who come on that always have the weird-ass lighting and the cameras at these weird angles and only talk about their own videos and content constantly as if it's, like, revolutionary action. You know, like, oh, well, that's why I did a video calling them the real corporate sellout shells, and that really destroyed the duopoly for a day. You know, thanks to my 573 viewed video, I changed change the world.
He'll vote against white nationalism, but I want to vote for something.
Yeah, but that's
H.A. Goodman. That's what, yet another one of those.
Fear of white supremacy or of some type of fascism, and you can't vote out of fear.
Can't vote out of fear.
Support the Green candidate. Write in a Green candidate because don't be afraid.
And Baghdad, I know this Katie AA is talking. I'm sorry to interrupt. But in Baghdad, you know what's the most popular thing nowadays in the hipster cafes? They're talking about the Green New Deal, and it's the number one trending subject in Baghdad. And you guys in the U.S., you still need to catch up.
Well, would you I have a question for you. If you were voting in Iowa, would you want Steve King or a fucking corporate sellout Democrat or Jill Stein?
Jill Stein all the way.
I have a question. If you can go back in time, Nader 2000, right?
Definitely.
I was actually hearing that there's Nader 2000 stickers all over Baghdad, and because what people had wanted was they wanted an invasion of Iraq, and then they could have sectarian warfare to really put an ugly face on the system there, and then there would be a fucking revolution. We could bring the Green Party to Iraq that way.
You can, but seriously, the other day
we could bring the Green Party to Iraq.
Chris Hedges, and I couldn't help but to notice how happy you were when you were reading quotes from his book. The look on your face was precious. Please go back and check the clip.
Well, Chris Hedges, you know, he had this clip where he said Fred Hampton said, "I want to work with."
H.A. Goodman became a full-on Trumpista a few years ago, just completely embracing the anti-Hillary cliff. Funny how that keeps happening. Weird how right now we've got Jimmy Dore, who's basically trying to invoke that that quote where it's like, you know, first they came for the socialists and I did nothing. Then they came for the trade unionists and still I did nothing for I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I did nothing for I was not a Jew. He's using that fucking to invoke Trump now. Being like, you know, the persecution of Trump, it could happen to us all, any one of us, any given day. So, like, you know that quote, right? First they came for the Jews and I did nothing. He jumps the first two and goes right to the Jews there. But it's like, the persecution of Trump, you're comparing to the Jews under World War II. Jimmy, holy fuck.
The neo-Nazi party, so that we could build infrastructure projects in the South, and that's why the FBI killed him. And so Chris Hedges was reading that for us.
Being an Arab, I cannot wait to work with the far right, who consider me a subhuman or an animal, or my Jewish.
And there's plenty of things that we don't agree on. I don't think you're a subhuman. I don't know what AA thinks, but there's all sorts of opinions. But the point is, we could come together to end fucking war.
Exactly. I don't care if they look at me as a subhuman or an animal. If the point is to end wars, let's do it.
But what about the Supreme Court? Am I right?
Right. Don't vote out of fear.
Yeah.
For being subhuman.
In a sense, that's like the ultimate racism, is the idea of I'm going to vote because I'm so afraid of having my voting rights and health care stripped away and being killed by security forces. So I'm so afraid I'm not a full human. That's how Hillary Clinton was the real white supremacist.
The problem the caller has is that he thinks there is a chance that somehow he'll be invaded, and that could happen. Or maybe Pluto would crash into Saturn and then we all burn in the sun. That could also happen.
I was planning to play 5 minutes of this. I think I've been watching it for over an hour now. You're taking away all my other segments by being too funny, y'all.
Do you enjoy the SERPs but prefer not to have to use your eyeballs? Many are saying this. Well, we've got the solution for you. It's the SERP Times in podcast form. Available on most major podcasting networks now. If you enjoy it, please consider leaving a good review and feedback because it really helps the show out, apparently, and it's free, just like the podcast.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody. This show is produced by amazing people like you, and if you want to help us out, please consider donating over at patreon.com/theserfs. The show is made possible thanks to Amazing Fletch, Anna Loves Riley, Ariane McCarthy, Cheryl Alvarez, Doug Cady, Everything Important, Hagbard Celine, Lamedia Panza, Matthew Scarborough, Multimondi, Omni, Peanut Butter Blondie, Political Papi, Quiet 185, Rachel K, Riley and Anna, Roller Dragon, Ruby K, Sir Nickus, Spinach Monster,
Stellar Vision, Sebastian Demel, TechTink, Trevbot EXE, Words Greenwood, and not to mention all of the amazing and fabulous people you now see before you.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.